I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to One Up Again, delivered through the AI Podcast channel. It's me, Guy, and of course, Carl's with me. How are you doing, Carl?
Not too bad, Guy. How about yourself?
I'm good. It's almost been a few days since we spoke, so it's growing pains, considering last week. But we have one and a quarter shows to talk about. But yeah, we're obviously going to do the Xbox show. Carl's going to do a quick Capcom recap, because, yeah. I forgot it was on. And yeah, that's the show. So do you want us to go through Capcom quickly there, Carl, before we get into Xbox?
Yeah, so there wasn't much new here. It was more kind of rehashing what they'd already announced at other events for the most part. They went through Monster Hunter Rise, Sunbreak, the DLC that's launching later this month on the 30th. They have a free demo for it coming out on June 14th, and free title updates will come as part of it as well. Obviously, we know Monster Hunter Rise Sunbreak is highly anticipated by Monster Hunter fans, but we don't count ourselves among them. We're not anti-Monster Hunter. We both appreciated Monster Hunter World, as we talked about on the preview for this, but you know, we're not current players, so we're not the best position to talk about that. Carrying on in that vein, obviously Street Fighter VI, you know, it was very brief what they showed. They kind of briefly showed a couple of new fighters. Mm-hmm. And you know, kind of reiterated that it's coming in 2023 and teased that there'll be further announcements later in the year. I think obviously after that, having shown up at both the State of Play and at Summer Games Fest, they weren't really going to have it overstay its welcome. So it was very brief. And that was followed up with the Capcom Fighting Collection, which was just outlining again what games are going to be in that and that it's going to feature online play. That's launching June 24th, so it's less than 2 weeks away. Similarly, Capcom Arcade Second Stadium, which is kind of their arcade platform where you download the platform and then you can add games to it at will for a few quid a go. That's coming out next month, July 22nd. So they're kind of outlining what games are coming to that. And they also announced that, the Capcom Arcade Stadium, the first run of it, that for the moment you can get, Street Fighter 2. For free as part of that, so may as well do that if you like your Street Fighter. They then went into Exo Primal, which is obviously we know is coming in 2023. We talked about it in the preview. They're doing a closed network test at some point this year, which you can register for, and they showed off a kind of in-depth gameplay. We knew it was kind of a third-person shooter where next fight roll dinosaurs, but we didn't know exactly how it was going to play. It looks like it's squad based. I think it's squads of five compete in kind of objective based levels against other teams to kind of see who can do it the fastest and the most efficiently. Squads can also join up at certain points on the map to fight kind of larger world bosses, kind of MMO style. There's also PvP areas where the squads can clash against each other. And there's kind of a loose story to tie it all together. It's kind of an AI gone rogue that's kind of thrown these portals of dinosaurs into.
It looks a bit Xbox 360, but it does look fun. if that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of these kind of games where players, now, to be fair, mostly they're kind of first person for the most part, but this one's obviously third person, which separates it. But a lot of these games are, it's kind of like, you know, I like to call it kind of like a expanded horde, let's say, where, you know, you're a squad and you're taking down large groups of enemies. This is more of that, but it, you know, if you're going to do more of that, we talked about on, I think it was the last show, how saturated that kind of subgenre of shooters is at the moment. If you're going to do that, you know, you may as well go all out to make yourself stand out. And I suppose Exo Primal does do that with, you know, mechs versus dinosaurs. I suppose it's like a nerd wet dream, so to speak. So, you know, it looks intriguing. I'd like to see more of it, kind of, especially see how people find it after the network test. I'm sure we'll hear bits then. They then announced a Dragon's Dogma 10th anniversary event to take place on June 16th, which is later this week. And you're going to assume that Dragon's Dogma 2 will be announced then, but I'm just surprised they didn't announce Dragon's Dogma here. It would have made the showcase a lot more worthwhile. And then they went into just a big Resident Evil section. They started with Resident Evil Village. There's the DLC. I think it's like the Winter's Call DLC or something like that, which features three different packs. Firstly, there's the Shadows of Rose DLC, which is a story add-on which follows on for the game and stars the main character's now grown up daughter. It's played completely in third person, which obviously is a departure from Resident Evil Village which is a first person game. On top of that, you have a third person mode which lets you play the main campaign in third person now. And then there's the Mercenaries Additional Orders DLC, which is a kind of like a horde mode where you can play as various characters. You can play as Lady Dimitrescu, which seems to have a lot of people excited, the idea of playing as a large-breasted, 9-foot-tall vampire lady. people are excited for that one. And that's coming...
Give the people what they want.
Exactly. That's coming October 28th. It'll also, there'll be a kind of a gold version of the game, which will feature all the DLC, which is nice for people like myself who plan to get the game, but haven't quite picked it up yet. Also on October 28th, the much delayed Resident Evil Reverse, the multiplayer game is coming out. And obviously that's free to all owners of Resident Evil Village. So I suppose if you pick up that gold edition, you're getting a lot of bang for your buck. They touched on Resident Evil 4 again, just kind of, they didn't announce anything new, just reiterated that it's coming March 24th.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of, again, had a bit of a story trailer. It looks really good. Obviously, we talked about it after its announcement. Like, I'm very excited for this, to play this game with a new lick of paint and more, obviously, like the gameplay will be much improved. And then lastly, they closed up with announcing that Resident Evil Biohazard, aka Resident Evil 7, Resident Evil 2, and Resident Evil 3 are all getting next-gen upgrades, or rather current-gen to be more apt. That'll be free to owners of the PS4 and Xbox One versions, and also for PC players, they get a free patch. So if you have those games, obviously you can play them with some shiny new features, which is pretty cool. So like, you know, it wasn't a bad showing. It didn't overstay its welcome, but you know, it for me, it was just simply kind of rethreading ground / kind of expanding somewhat. I'm sure Resident Evil fans really enjoyed it, but you know, kind of. For most people, obviously, you know, you want some announcements. We didn't get that. And as I said, if, as I suspect, we get a Dragon's Dogma 2 anniversary in 2 days' time, you're going to be left wondering, why didn't they announce it now? Unless it's simply a case that it's early doors. Like, if it's not far along in development, and they didn't want to put it in a showcase because of criticism. Whereas if you put it at the very end of like an anniversary event, you're going to get less criticism. Maybe that's the case, but I still would have probably put it in here.
Yeah, if it does turn up in a couple of days, you'd question why you wouldn't at least say it'd be at the other events or more people watch that. Because it's going to be a very specific audience to just gamble on an anniversary event. Whereas if they mention, the sequel will be there, they'll be like, ooh, intrigue. But, yeah, odd. But we'll see in 2 days whether it's actually there. But, yeah, sounds like an alright little showcase, which I missed. But, yeah, a lot of that stuff we've already kind of seen, haven't we? So maybe not missed too much, but if you're into your Resident Evils, good news for you. Right, Carl, Xbox time. Let's start off with overall thoughts, because this has got a mixed bag on the old social media, which, can you believe social media disagrees over stuff? Good Lord. New times, then. But it seems to have got a mixed reaction, as I say. You mentioned to me on WhatsApp you thought it was fun. I'd agree. I mean, what was your overall thought?
Yeah, I mean, of all the, obviously I don't think it's fair to compare this to the State of Play. State of Play is, 25 minutes long. Yeah. This is an hour and 40 minutes. So I'm not comparing those two. But say comparing it to Summer Games Fest, we weren't too impressed with that. And I know, as we said, they had played down expectations ahead of it. But nonetheless, I didn't think it was really worthwhile watching, to be honest, because it just wasn't enough there. The a lot of it seemed like you could just throw a few trailers up on YouTube or, a couple of press releases or whatever the case might be. But I think this was a worthwhile watch. It respected your time. There was very little talking, nothing really in terms of filler. It was just kind of game followed by game followed by game. There was new game announcements. There was a lot of big folks on Game Pass, a lot of kind of Game Pass announcements, which what people want to see, especially in the wake of criticism of the service. We got to see more of kind of Xbox games that were anticipated. And they were also, as we talked about in the preview, the expectation was they were going to be careful as far as not announcing games that were too far off. They stuck to games that are expected to launch in the next 12 months. I'm sure not all of them will. There's always, slips, but obviously the intention's there. So, I think Xbox delivered on what they promised, and that's all we can really ask. And as I said, I thought it was a worthwhile watch that respected your time. I mean, what were your overall thoughts?
Yeah, I was almost a bit, when they announced that the games would be within a 12-month period, I was almost concerned because, we mentioned on the few pods we did that Xbox's immediate future was the issue, and then they announced 12 months off, it's like, well, Avowed probably won't be there. Ninja Theory won't be there, which we kind of expected anyway. And then the ones we speculated on, like Project Dragon and stuff like that, I think as soon as that was like, yeah, I don't think any of that will be there. So it almost like lowered my expectations at the start, which may have helped me coming out of the show thinking that it was better than it was, because it did alleviate some of the concerns about the immediate future of Xbox and some of its third party, but some of it just looks excellent. So yeah, I think it was a brave strategy, and we saw pretty much 90-odd% gameplay, and I think it was a really unique showcase. I think even PlayStation in their pomp of E3, they've had the odd presentation issue. What was that godly show where it was Spider-Man, Ghost of Tsushima and Last of Us 2? I remember us reviewing it as like, why are they walking from different theatres to show a different game? It was like, but I think this one worked where it was the only time there was people speaking was Forza, because yeah, you have to. If it's not a car on stage, it has to be people speaking on stage. And then it was basically Phil Spencer introducing Kojima, wasn't it? And then Todd Howard for his bit, which is part of it. So they limited the amount of people on stage and they maximised gameplay. I think that's what people want from shows. So I think it was spot on. I think if I was to grade it or something like that, I think you got to go B. I think it's missing one more huge game to be in that PlayStation magical one where I mentioned there in terms of that realm. But it's probably one of Xbox's best ever events for sure.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think they've slowly learned how to do it. I mean, I think as you alluded to, for a long time, PlayStation was ahead in terms of the showcases. But I do think that Xbox have improved year on year. They continue to improve. And I do think it was, a really good showing. As I said, it wasn't that kind of, you know, it was that with PlayStation that one year, they call it the year of dreams, you know, where they were just blowing people's minds over and over and over. It was, you know, it wasn't there, but it was definitely a very good showing with a lot of games to be excited about and things to look forward to. And I think it's put Xbox in a stronger position than they were in before the showcase. And that's how you want to exit these things, is in a stronger position with people kind of anticipating what your console is going to bring. So credit to them for that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. We'll get through the games now. I mean, do you want to start with highlights? Because it is usually a long show, and normally the biggest thing is at the last. But was Starfield your biggest game of the show, or was there another one that caught your eye?
Yeah, I think there's contenders. I think obviously Diablo 4 was big. Overwatch 2 to a degree as well.
Yeah.
But I do think that obviously you have to go with Starfield because people just have been wanting to see it for so long, and they knew that, and they took advantage of that, and they showed a lot of it. And I think it looks really good. I mean, there's maybe a couple drop frame rate issues in there, but
just whilst they were shooting, just the shooting where it was dropping frames, it looked fine.
Yeah. But I mean, it had to be the highlight. I'm not sure many other people would pick something else.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I think there was other things that maybe surprised and looked intriguing, but you get however long it was, probably 10 minute plus Bethesda gameplay demo. It's always going to be the king of the show in Starfield. Yeah. Apart from the odd dropping frame rate thing, it was spot on for me. Like, people came out and said, why don't they look like NPCs from basically PlayStation games? Like, you just see the scope of this game. I don't think we have the technology as like a race of people to make PlayStation NPCs on thousands of procedurally generated planets. I just don't think anything's there yet. So from what you expect of Bethesda, which is almost limited combat and stuff like that, which is what you get, and then just an epic story and an epic world. We don't really know the story yet, but the world looked fucking magnificent. And the gameplay did look a bit better apart from the frame rate thing. It looked a bit more promising. We know Fallout has VATs and stuff to kind of counter that, but yeah, it looked a tad smoother. Just sort that frame rate thing out. And yeah, it'll be intriguing to see what the story's like, because if you've got thousands of planets, I think they named them Goldilocks planets or something like that, where all the key stuff happens. So it'll be interesting to see if those thousands of planets have actual content on it. It'll just be like, you can make a house here. But it'll be interesting to see. But I think people have called it No Man's Skyrim, and it certainly did give them vibes.
Yeah, I mean, I'd agree with you. For me, the shooting looks a lot better than any past Bethesda game. I mean, that's usually where they fall down. I'm not saying like it's not quite like Destiny levels.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it looks solid. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if Aid have been kind of helping them out there. Like, it's clearly a new engine, which is what we've been crying out for with Bethesda games, because they just, you know, they milked that engine long after it was dry. You know, it needed an upgrade. The UI is a bit off to me. Like the text and stuff. It just looks off. It kind of distracted me in the wrong way.
Oh, the health bars and stuff. Pirate level 6.
I'm not a fan of that. And I'm hoping that's just kind of like beta footage or whatever. I'm hoping that's spruced up for the actual game. But that's a small critique. The idea of being able to travel around planets and all, like, we had that to a degree in Mass Effect. You know, you could land on some planets and like basically you had like a building on that planet or like a level, like, or it's other planets you could kind of mine or stuff. But this seems like this, some like virtually entire planets you can explore. And obviously they've been clever by making some of them like barren planets and that, so you know, there's not going to be that much to them, and you might just go down and mine some resources to spruce up your ship or whatever the case might be. But it's still just cool, the idea of being able to go around all these planets. You know, the idea of having your ship, the ship, you can customize it, you can upgrade it, you get in ship battles. I mean, this is exactly what you want from a space game. Like like you said, it doesn't look like as good as like, say, a Last of Us or something like that. But, you know, it looks really good. It looks like a good step up on Fallout 4. And that's exactly what we wanted in terms of graphics. So I'm really excited about this one. You know, it can't come soon enough. You know, the delay didn't disappoint me at first, but now that I've seen it, I'm like, oh, I wish this was coming out in November, you know?
Yeah. And they didn't give a date, which everyone expected who thought about it somewhat, 2023. But going off that demo, apart from the frame rate thing, which we keep mentioning, if that's it, they've got the world sorted and stuff like that, which I think by all accounts, people thought it would be a lock-in for November. So, yeah, if they can sort that out, yeah, it looks like my perfect game, to be fair. Like, as I mentioned, you go into a Bethesda game, you're expecting bugs, and you're not expecting the best gameplay, but you're expecting epic adventure and epic worlds and stuff like that. And that's just what I want, and that's what I got. So I'm very happy. It put many of the doubts I had about it to rest. So yeah, that was such a promising end to the show. We will return to Starfield to finish off as we go through everything else. But we'll get into the list of games now, Carl. And starting off, we had Bethesda's other big showing, and that was Redfall, which we kind of discussed almost slightly negatively on the preview, and we kind of didn't know what it was fully off the footage we had before this one. It looks fun, and I'd say it looked good, but as we mentioned on the preview, it's the Left 4 Dead Burnout, and I know some people have compared it to Borderlands, and I think they've said it's open world and stuff, but it still just screams Left 4 Dead for me.
Yeah, no, I'd agree with you. I mean, as I said on the preview, and I've said many times, like, I love Arcane. You know, I'm a big Dishonored fan. I've been meaning to play, and I'm blanking,
Back for Blood.
No, Deathloop.
Deathloop,
yes. Jeez, how did I forget? I've been meaning to play Deathloop. Like, I love, like Arcane, like they're a fantastic studio. But when this game was initially announced, like as in real time watching the announcement, I was like, oh my God, it's another Arcane game. I can't wait. And then I was like, wait a minute. It clearly just became clear. This is another like Left 4 Dead. Like, I'm like, oh God, like I don't like their phone. Don't get me wrong. You know, I can dabble with them with friends, and you know, we jump in and out of different ones, but like they're never long lasting for me personally. I know for others they are. But even for those that they are, they're going to select their one or two maybe that they play. They're not going to play them all. You know, it doesn't really make sense with these kind of games. And watching it, you know, I was hoping maybe it would show me something special. You know, I was still holding out hopes that maybe it would show me something special that would make this the best one, the one, the Left 4 Dead like that you have to play. But based on what we saw, I didn't see that. You know, I just felt like I was shooting vampires, or well, they rather were shooting vampires rather than zombies or aliens, as is popular in the other games that are currently out for this this genre or subgenre rather. So yeah, no, it's not really for me personally. You know, I obviously if it comes out and the reviews are crazy and people are saying this is the Left 4 Dead like that you have to play, you know, then I'll by all means I'll give it a shot. But for now, this is one that I'd personally be leaving on the table, despite my appreciation of the developer in Arkane.
Yeah, I'm basically with you there. I think we've kind of coined the phrase Game Pass game on other reviews we've done, and I think this is kind of what this is to me. I think I wouldn't be spending £70 on this if that was the case. But the fact that going in Game Pass, we presume at the minute it'll be out before Starfield, so February, March, you'd presume. Yeah, that's probably be a quiet period because, well, I'm guessing winter will just be Harry Potter for me at the minute. Other stuff I can't think of at the minute. But when it gets to that, maybe a bit quieter. It'll probably be one of them games that, unless it's surprisingly good, which is quite possible because, as you say, Arkane's one of the best ones in the business, it might be just one you basically piss about with your mates for a week, a weekend, or something like that. But if it is good and it's got really good gameplay, the characters are unique, it's much more story-driven and open-worldy than I expect. And if it's more Borderlands-y than Left 4 Dead-y, it could be a hit. But from what I've seen there, it is just screamed Left 4 Dead. And Back 4 Blood, I think I played it like twice. It was fun whilst it lasted, but got a bit bored, so yeah. It looked good, but it looks like a genre that's burnt out for me, so that's probably what I'd say with that one. Hollow Knight Silksong. Carl, we know I haven't played Hollow Knight, but I know it's one of the biggest and most popular indie games, and I know this is one of the most requested sequels. So this is a big get for Xbox.
Yeah, I mean, some people, you know, we talked about earlier about how, you know, obviously Game Pass has come in for a bit of criticism lately, I think due to a Kotaku article, and, you know, people say it's just for indies. But, you know, what's key here is they get the big indies. They don't get every big indie, but they get a lot of big indies. You know, they're like things like Death's Door and things like that. And exactly, like things that people are really anticipating. And like Hollow Knight is one of the, you know, the game, when you think of the term indie, that is one of the game that comes to mind. It's up there with the likes of like Dead Cells and, you know, really almost like a Shovel Knight type level. Like it's a massive, massive game. And this obviously Silksong, it wasn't even quite clear when this is coming to Xbox and PlayStation. We assumed it was, but we know that, you know, Nintendo had obviously gotten a lot of the press space with this game. Like it was showing up a lot of their showcases, and there was even suggestions that maybe it could be a timed exclusive for Nintendo. Doesn't seem to be the case now. But for Xbox to be able to show it at the showcase, say they're going to have it, and then say it's going to be in Game Pass day one, that's a big get for Game Pass. You know what I mean? If you're two pillars of Game Pass are going to be your obviously your first party games and your indies, you need to get some big indies, and this is a big one.
Yeah, absolutely is. And the next game we can talk about is almost, I think it'll have a lot of fans simply because of the Rick and Morty connection. But even if you ignore that, for me, this game, it certainly stole Redfall's thunder. I don't think it got quite up to the Starfield level. But High on Life from Squanch Games, I think this looked really good, even if you ignore the attraction of Rick and Morty humour.
Yeah, like, it just, it's a bonkers concept. Like, your guns are alive, and they talk to you, and they're really, not only are they, you know, it doesn't stop the bar at them just being kind of these little animated characters that talk to you. Like, they seem to be unique guns, like unique weapons. And, you know, there's a lot to be said for a game that doesn't just give you standard guns that shoot bullets. You know, that's the reason a lot of people love the Ratchet and Clank games, is because of like just the bizarre guns that you get. And this seems quite similar in that sense, and that there are these kind of weapons that stand out. And then, as you said, on top of that, you get the kind of Rick and Morty humor that you'd expect from Squanch Games. And I mean, put that as well, and what seems to be like a unique art style, like this one really caught my eye, and kind of was probably the first moment where I was really, as I said, because I kind of had low expectations for Redfall because of the kind of game it is. Hollow Knight Silksong, as I said, it was a great get, but it wasn't going to kind of excite me or intrigue me, let's say. Whereas High on Life really caught my interest in it, and it's a really intriguing one. And, you know, it's a timed exclusive for Xbox on consoles. And again, it's Game Pass day one. So that's really another great get for Game Pass.
And it was this year as well. I think it's 2022, isn't it? I don't think they give a date, but I'm pretty sure they said it's this year.
I might have missed that, but I'll submit to you on that one if you.
It may well have been. Release date. If I can spell release right. Okay, it's gone on to something else. October 2022.
Oh, that's amazing. It's close, very close.
It is. We have our winter Xbox game. but yeah, it was almost a sleeper pick for game of the showcase for me. But yeah, as we go through, there's a couple others that really caught the eye. So yeah, I'm looking forward to that. I'll be playing that. It'd be interesting to see how long it is or deep it is, and if it's just one of them 10 to 15 hours, fun, quick, just funny games, that'll be spot on for me, really. So yeah, a really good showing from that. Next up then, not one that's a big ooh fun announcement, but is impressive in what it actually means, and that's a partnership with Riot Games, Carl, and that's coming this winter. So if we break it down, Game Pass Ultimate members get all the legends in League of Legends, League of Legends Wild Rift, and all the agents in Valorant, which apparently, for someone, people unfamiliar with M series, is hundreds of pounds worth of content. So, and the fact that Riot Games, obviously nothing to do with console yet, we can speculate afterwards, Carl, partnership with Xbox Game Pass, but this is a huge get, which might have not been the biggest, almost eye-catching news on a game showcase, but in terms of the meaning for people who play League and stuff like that and have no affiliation with Xbox, that's who it's targeting.
Yeah, there was also, I think, content for one of their other League of Legends spin-offs, Team Fight Tactics, and then there's also their card game, which I don't recollect the name of at the moment, but the particularly the legends in League of Legends or the agents of Valorant is particularly notable. I mean, as you said, I have an insight into this, obviously, as having been played League of Legends quite fervently in the past. you can earn the champions. Like, you can earn a currency by playing the game that allows you to buy the champions. But I'd say in League of Legends, I owned about half the champions. And at some point, I did say feck it and put about 50 euro real world money in and spent a bit of that on champions and a bit of it on skins. So I put in a decent amount of hours into the game, and I only owned about half the champions. Some of my friends that would play maybe twice as much as me, and some might have owned, you know, more than that, but they still didn't own all the champions. You know, it takes a real kind of a fanatic of the game really to own them all. And so this saves you a lot of time or money, to give you these characters. And obviously, it's more of an attraction to PC Game Pass, which a lot of that's been one of the criticisms lobbied at Game Pass, being that there's not as much justification for the PC side of things as there is for the console side of things. So I think this goes a long way to rectifying that.
Yeah, I think that's all. I think that's been the issue, where it's clearly been the secondary part, and you'd probably expect that because there's Steam, there's other things. So it's fighting in that. But to partner with Riot Games, which is one of the biggest, if not the biggest, PC creator of games, it is a huge get. Now let's speculate for a second. Is this just the one and done partnership, or could we ever see? I doubt we ever see League on console, because that'd be a fucking clusterfuck. But Valorant is one that you could see translating, maybe in a modified version of the game, because the CSGO aiming doesn't really translate as well on console. But could we see like a watered-down version of Valorant on console sometime in the future? Not anytime soon, obviously.
I think I could see Valorant on console at some point. And I think I could also see Wild Rift on console at some point, because that's obviously a watered-down version of League of Legends for mobile devices. So you could see that. I do see these games making the pass over, because I think they're going to reach kind of their peak at some point. And then if you want to access more players, where else to do it than on consoles? I'd also be intrigued to see if eventually, you know, there's a lot of, obviously there is some League of Legends spin-offs involved here, like the more multiplayer League of Legends spin-offs, but there's some single player League of Legends, spin-off games. There's like an RPG and an adventure game and stuff that launched, but I think they kind of have deals with Epic Games. The Epic Games Store, right, but I wonder if maybe when that ends, could they eventually become part of this as well and be added to Game Pass? So I suppose time will tell on that one.
It's certainly interesting. If Riot do want to get their foot in the door in the console space, I mean, Microsoft's clearly thought we will get ahead of that if needs be, but if not, they've got this deal, which is huge. Moving on then, A Plague Tale Requiem. I never played the first one. It was good by most accounts, maybe missing a bit to be really special, whereas this one looks really good. Has it tempted me to play it, though? Because I haven't played the first one. And it seems like the characters are very dependent on this with the sister-brother relationship. I'm kind of tempted, but at the same time, a dog dies in the first one, so I can't play it.
Oh my god, you've now just put... I've been tempted for a while, but you've now kind of put me off.
Yeah, I don't do that shit.
I've heard great things about the first one. I mean, a friend of mine played through it and sang its praises. But I think what kind of put me off is that there's not much combat in it. And like, a game doesn't have to just be combat-based for me to enjoy it. But I think a game that kind of teases you with combat, but then kind of punishes you for it or makes it very limited or whatever, that just kind of frustrates me. Now, it seems with this one, obviously the sequel, there's more combat in it. Like your character, she's wearing armor at this point, and I guess she's a bit more fearless than that, and she's willing to take people on, and it seems like there will be more combat in this one, which is like which is intriguing. But I suppose, as you said, it looks like you have to play the first game to play the second game. So I'm not sure. Like, I still haven't ruled out playing a Plague Tale Innocence. But I don't know. The dog thing, nah, certainly hasn't helped. But nonetheless, like, this game looks great. I'm sure it's going to be another hit, just like the first one. And as we talked about at the time this was announced, I believe that having it in Game Pass day one is a big, big get.
Yeah, it is a get. And it's coming. Was this 2022 as well? I'm sure this was 2022. Let's have a looky. Requiem. Release date. It says 22. Yeah, it says 2022. It hasn't given a month yet, I don't think, unless I'm misreading somewhere. So that's another game that's going straight in Game Pass this year, which is quite good. Moving on then, Forza Motorsport. This is where it got boring for a few minutes, but it's still, these games are there to show off the tech. We saw ray tracing, looked really nice. PlayStation got that with Gran Turismo earlier in the year. Maybe the surprise here is that this is coming out next year. I think most people penciled this in for 2022 as well, but I think other people have worded it 2022 is kind of just chalked anyway, so if you, to avoid any crunch or whatever, maybe just whack it in 2023.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think we, you know, there was a little bit of hope from people that it would come out this year, you said, but, you know, I think it was obviously... seemed like Xbox were kind of just not giving up on 2022, but kind of accepting that, you know, the focus should be
put on... It's never going to be what it was it?
So. Yeah. The focus should be on making next year a big year for their platform, and that seems what they're trying to do. I mean, it looks fantastic, you know, this game. I feel like we say that every time a big car game is announced, because, you know, we're probably not the people to talk about it. But nonetheless, like, you wait for these kind of games to showcase what a next gen, or, you know, again, in this case, I suppose it is the current gen now, but what these consoles can do. And I think this really shows it off. Like, this game looks fantastic.
Yeah, that's the thing. You always see car games, you're like, that looks fantastic. Then you're like, it's a car game. So, yeah, it's a weird one. I'll play it when it comes out. I like the old racing game. I liked Forza for a while. Horizon was very good. I always play the F1 games, for instance. So yeah, looking forward to it, but it's not an announcement which excites many people. Either the next one, or to be fair, as soon as Flight Simulator came up, I think everyone went, oh, for fuck's sake. And then a Pelican showed up, and I was like, is it worth the 100 gig download to play with a Pelican? So it kind of worked, but it wasn't that tempting, because I didn't re-download it. But yeah, Microsoft, literally anything to add before we move on?
Yeah, like, you know, it is what it is. I've kind of hemmed and hawed about trying it now and again, but then I remember how frustrated I used to get playing the old one back on the PC in my younger days, and how hard it is to actually keep a plane up in the air. But it's a really cool concept, the idea of being able to fly around the world and getting to do it in the Pelican. I mean, that's even cooler. So, I mean, we know this game has its fans, and I'm sure they'll be excited to be able to fly all these new planes and whatever else has been added. But much like with Forza, I just don't think we're the people to talk about this one.
No, I don't think we are. I don't think we are. Well, you are the audience for this next one, and that's Overwatch 2. Early access coming on October 4th. They did announce today, I'm not sure if it's open or closed, but there's a beta coming on the end of this month. I think it's the 28th, it might be the 26th. But if there's an Overwatch event on, I can't remember if it's the 16th or the 19th of this month. But there'll be more details on then. But there's a beta coming for everyone. rather it's open or closed this month. But Overwatch 2, Carl, I think a lot of people thought it'd be 2023 because Blizzard's been a fucking mess. It is still only early access, but I'm not sure how much you follow Overwatch, but Overwatch League, the eSport, has been playing on Overwatch 2. There was that beta for PC a few weeks ago, maybe a couple of months ago now. So Overwatch 2 multiplayer, which is basically just Overwatch 1 with fancy skin, is seemingly ready-ish. Maybe it's just the PvE stuff, that's why it's going to early access rather than being ready.
Yeah, perhaps. Like, I don't follow it as closely as you would, so I wasn't quite aware of that. But it's an interesting move for me to kind of go with free to play. I know that's not exactly new news, but I think when obviously initially this was announced, we thought it was going to be a retail game like the first one. But that it was going to be even more bang for your buck because it was going to include kind of some single player aspect. But they've decided to go obviously free to play, and for me, a lot of free to play games, when I see a game's free to play, it puts me off because it kind of cheapens the game for me in a way. Like, I think, like, if it's a great game, you'd make me pay for it. Like, that's my attitude. Like, I have gotten into some free to play games, obviously League of Legends I mentioned before, but it can put me off when suddenly they say a game is free to play. But I think with Overwatch, obviously it's a game that I played the first one. I really enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
I know, having played the first one, that it makes a lot of sense for free to play. So therefore I'm probably more open to it. And, I will download this and I wouldn't even say give it a shot. Like, I'm going to play this, for a while, anyway, until, like most multiplayer games, I tend to just burn out on them eventually mm-hmm. these days.
I'm still playing it now, so it's in my blood now, so it'd be stupid for me to badmouth anything about Overwatch 2.
Yeah, no, I know there's a lot of people who have been playing it since day one and are still there, which is a testament to what a great game it is. And, you know, Overwatch 2 does seem more kind of like Overwatch 1.5 or whatever you want to call it, like, but you don't have to fix what's not broken, and Overwatch certainly isn't broken. Like, it's a it's an excellent game, and I'm sure this, I was about to say, I suppose a game that's free to play can't do gangbusters, but it can in a way, because I'm sure people will be buying a lot of skins and whatnot for this game.
If they put content in it, people will spend money on it. That's the thing, that. Because Overwatch has been left to basically rot for 3 years. They might be bloody long. I think it is 3 years since the last character update. But then you get the outdated loot boxes and stuff like that. I think we know, or it's been told, that it will be Battle Pass systems and stuff like that in the new one. I'm not sure if they'll be ready for early access. But if they're modernising all that stuff, fair enough. But it does still kind of beg the question, What's the point of a fucking sequel? They should have just updated Overwatch, but I know why, because Activision went for a money grab. But it feels like they should have just focused on Overwatch 1. If they wanted to add the PvE stuff, make it a separate game, or add it as a big ass DLC and keep supporting Overwatch 1. But people have suffered, people have been extremely fucking patient. It's almost here now. Hopefully it's worth it. That's probably what we just got to hope for now.
I'll be hopeful.
Yeah. Yeah, it's too good. Overwatch 1 is too good a game to be fucked up by people. That's the thing. It's in a surviving state, but it's still an excellent game. It won Game of the Year when it came out, for instance. So it's an excellent game. It'll just be interesting to see how it survived with 5v5 rather than 6v6. It looks like it's going to take on more of a just a normal shooter type deal rather than a squad-based, character-based shooter. Obviously, the characters are still a huge part of it, but it seems like a more chaotic game rather than a tactical game, if that makes sense. But it is interesting. It wasn't the biggest announcement on the thing, as we keep saying, but Overwatch 2, for me personally, yeah. I was so happy when that got announced for this year, because I think most people thought it'd be next year. So, happy days for me. I think it is. I think the multiplayer is free to play. Just to add on, I think the PVE stuff that's coming is what will be the paid bit. So I think the multiplayer will be free to play because that's basically Overwatch 1, as we say. But when the PVE stuff's ready, I think that's what people will have to pay for. I might be wrong on that, but I'm sure that came out the day after. But anywho, that'll
so it's kind of a reverse of Fortnite.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah,
PVE stuff came out for money first, and then they launched the PvP. Free to play.
Absolutely.
And it eventually repays the PvE.
I may have been the only one who bought the PvE stuff for Fortnite. But yeah. Ara History Untold. This is a new game we've not seen yet, Carl. Another one for PC Game Pass. If you don't remember what this is, it's basically Civilization, Humankind, etc. It was that game. If you like this type of game, it's probably interesting. I do like these types of games, Carl. It didn't show loads, but yeah, I'd jump into this if, well, my PC probably wouldn't run it, that's the issue. Barely runs a Skype call. But yeah, these types of games, they're always popular.
Yeah, I mean, funny you mentioned Humankind. I actually thought it was just Humankind being shown off again, because obviously we know that's coming to Game Pass. So I surprised when it was a new game announcement at the end, but obviously this was kind of just one of the few instances where we just got CGI. So we didn't get to see too much. But you know, it sounds like there's kind of experienced devs behind this, people who know the genre. As I said before, PC Game Pass is one of the areas of Game Pass that tends to be knocked. So it's a positive that they're getting another kind of notable title in there. So I mean, yeah, it's a positive for PC Game Pass if you like these kind of games. And I know a lot of people who do. I'm sure it's an easy one to check out on Game Pass.
Yeah, absolutely. Probably three we can rattle through here quickly. The Elder Scrolls Online DLC High Isle, June 21st. Fallout 76 DLC The Pit, and Forza Horizon 5 Hot Wheels. All looked good. Probably won't play any of them.
Yeah, I mean, if you play any of those games, of course you're going to play those DLCs. I don't play any of those games. So it's kind of difficult to comment on them. And The Pit.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
just kind of gave me a kind of injection of nostalgia for like the Pit DLC for Fallout 3 back in the day. And made me kind of wish they were announcing a Fallout 3 remaster instead, but that's a story for another time.
Wishful thinking, which we did in the preview, to be fair. Arc 2 was up next. Vin Diesel on a dinosaur. Tick.
Yeah, this game just keeps getting shown off.
No gameplay though, was it?
Why? Yeah, like this is one a game that now I know it's not a first party game, so we can't really blame Xbox. We can't blame them, I suppose, for continually including it in showcase. I know, obviously, get Ark's a big deal, and getting Ark
ruined my life for a year.
Notable, and they want to push that, but at the same time, it's just frustrating when you're seeing a game without really seeing it, you know. And it's not out till next year. Like, we get it, Vin Diesel's in your game, cool. You know, I like Vin Diesel as much as the next person, but you know, next time this game is shown off, please, for the love of God, show it off.
Yeah.
Or just go quiet till you're ready to launch. Otherwise, like, it's just starting to take the piss here.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. Like, I say Ark ruined my life for a year. Is it an excellent game? It's kind of an excellent game. It's not really well made, but I don't think I've ever been addicted to a game like that, to be fair. So, a sequel to that, I think I read that it's meant to be more of a story-based game than the Ark 1. I hope it still has all the survival features and stuff like that, but if they are adding more of a story and maybe a single-player experience as well, that's almost music to my ears, to be fair. But we wouldn't fucking know that because it didn't show us. Next time this is shown, if it is shown again, actual gameplay, and we don't really care about Vin Diesel, let's be honest, it's 2022. Fast and Furious was a very long time ago. Scorn, we've seen a few times now. Still looks gory.
Yeah. Like, I mean, this was one of the games that kind of was announced, which was kind of like a little bit of CGI when it was first announced. But we actually got to see what the game looks like in engine here. And we got to see a reasonable amount of it. It looks really gory. I think I saw Alana Pierce tweeted and said that, you know, I'm going to show my future children this and tell them it's Pornhub. it's very, very gory game. But I'm just hopeful that it's not gore for the sake of gore, like Agony. I mean, I downloaded Agony when it was on sale at one point for like €2. And that game is just I played it for about a half an hour. Like, that game is just purely gore for the sake of gore. Other than that, it's just utter crap. I'm not saying that Scorn will be that, but I'm just saying it's a cautionary tale that, you know, gore doesn't sell a game on its own. Like, you need to have kind of a solid gameplay and story and that to back it up. So hopefully Scorn has that. Like, it's probably just I don't mind gruesome. Like, I'll play a Silent Hill or a Resident Evil or something like that, but this seems like it might be tipping the scales just a little bit too much towards gore for my own liking. But I know there are people who love gore in their games, and this might be right up their alley.
Yeah, it'll certainly have a market. I think it's like people want Doom turned up to 11, don't they? So I can certainly see I can see the appeal. It'll just be interesting to see how good a game it is outside of the gore situation, because, as you say, it can't carry it on its own.
And it's another game that's more imminent. Like, it's out on October 21st, so yeah. just 4 and a bit months away. So
absolutely.
They need games, so it's good that they have it.
Yeah. Another game that was really intriguing, probably one of the more sneakily intriguing one, because it's brand new, is Flintlock: The Siege of Dawn. Third person action-y adventure game by the looks of it, if I can find the right tab that I'm clicking on.
Devil May Cry-esque.
Yeah. I don't know what time period it'd be in. But it looks like a mix of medieval, magic-y type stuff. It looks like a range of time periods, to be honest. But it looks really intriguing, and obviously this is the first time we've seen it. I'll be keeping an eye on this one.
Yeah, no, it looks good. You know, of the kind of new game reveals, this was one of the standouts in my eyes. I like this kind of game, and, you know, but it's a game where it's important to get the style right, and I think they've achieved that here from what we saw. And again, it's a Game Pass day one, and it's out early next year, so that's another, at least on the face of it, another good get for Game Pass.
And it has a magic fox rabbit dog thing, so yeah, that's what we need. Minecraft Legends, Carl, we heard rumours before the show that there was going to be Minecraft there, but not Minecraft as Minecraft is. And this is what this is. What I think it was described as an action strategy game. It looks fun. It looks like Dungeons, but expanded a bit further, which I played Dungeons. It was fun. So, yeah, I'll probably be playing this in 2023.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about in the preview about you were saying how you enjoy Dungeons, and I was saying, like, I've been thinking about dabbling in Dungeons. I mean, it's interesting how they're kind of taking, you know, kind of the Minecraft skin and putting it on different genres of game, but not like willy-nilly. Like, they've resisted the urge to make a kart racer, so credit to them for that. But, you know, genres that make sense to be tied to Minecraft, like, you know, an isometric kind of dungeon crawler RPG, like the Diablo-esque game with, and now with this, like, they're kind of games that make sense to be set in the Minecraft world. So it's clever how inventive they're getting with that approach. Yeah, like, it wouldn't appeal to me as much as Minecraft Dungeons did, but it does look interesting, and I could, you know, it's in Game Pass there, you know, I can see a lot of people giving it a go.
Yeah, absolutely. Next up, we had Lightyear Frontier. Was this the robot farming
game?
Yes. Yeah. This looked good. This looked like a game I'd piss about. Basically, I'd piss about with my mates on. But this seems what this is.
Yeah, I mean, I think it had been previously announced for PC, but it was announced here as a console launch exclusive. Like, it's something different, you know. I suppose not every game has to have guns and swords in it, so to speak. And we know how popular farming games are with people.
Yes.
Whether it's, you know, in a serious sense, like yourself, or in a take the piss sense, like when my friends and I decided to play Farming Simulator together.
Absolutely.
And, you know, they can be good fun one way or the other. And, you know, this looks like something unique, something different. And it's one I'd like to kind of see more from as time goes on.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll be keeping an eye on this one as well, I think. It should be fun. Gunfire Reboot, which one was this?
It was a roguelite shooter.
Yes.
With all the kind of very colourful characters.
I remember now. Apparently it's a mobile game. Not much to add.
Yeah, it didn't do much for me, to be honest. It seemed kind of like one of those games where, you know, once you've seen one, you've seen them all type of thing. Like, it didn't stand out to me. And it's no surprise, obviously, that it's a mobile game, as things stand.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure it must have an audience, or else they wouldn't bother bringing it across. But nonetheless, it's just not one for me, and I don't have much to add on that one.
Yeah, we'll move on then to The Last Case of Benedict Fox. Platformy game, bit horror-y, a bit paranormal's the word I'm probably looking for there. It looks interesting, but it's hard for me, especially where a platformer type game grabs you. And it looked interesting, but I don't know, is that enough for me to play it or search it out or keep track of it? I'm not sure.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's stood out in the sense that it seems to be a Metroidvania kind of almost coupled with like an adventure game, which isn't something you get too often, you know, kind of almost like it's bringing in kind of that PC adventure game and combining it with a Metroidvania. And that's unique. And also the art style, you know, did stand out. It seemed to get, you know, catch the eye of a lot of people. I liked what I saw, but at the same time, I'm not sure it's one I intend to play. I just think that there's a lot of Metroidvanias, these days. You know, it's gone from a genre you don't see any games from to a genre you see a lot of games from. So for that reason, I'll probably give this a miss because I've got quite a backlog of Metroidvanias, but I do like the idea of kind of bringing together two different genres. And as I said, the art style is certainly something that stood out.
Yeah, I think it might be one way. If you play it, it'll probably grab you, but it's just getting over that first hump. But as you say, backlog and other new games and stuff like that. But it is game day. It's day one Game Pass, coming next spring by the looks of it. Moving on then to As Dusk Falls. This was a game I forgot about in the preview and you reminded me what it was. It looks good. It looks unique. Coming July 19th. I'll probably play this, you know. I didn't think I would when I remembered what it was for the preview, but the more we've seen of it and the more it looked like there was varying decisions and stuff like that and the characters that impact, I kind of like them games.
I like the concept. I think by all accounts, the studio knows what they're doing. I believe some of them have some history with Quantic Dream.
Yeah.
But despite all that, I don't see myself playing, purely because I think the art style, the approach with the art is just really off-putting to me. Like I don't know, like if I had to look at those faces and such, kind of for the length of a full game, I think it would make me feel uncomfortable. I don't know what it is, but it just does not work for me at all. So, and it's strange, like it's rare that purely an art style of a game could put me off, but this is one such case. Like I don't think I could get around that, unfortunately. But I do have a feeling this is going to be a good game that's going to get some plaudits when it launches, and it's obviously out on July 19th. So of all, and it's exclusive to Xbox. So of kind of all the games we've discussed, it's one of the most imminent. So I'll be intrigued to see how it does. I do, for whatever reason, expect it will do well. But for me, purely on the back of the art style, I just don't think I could stomach playing this one for whatever reason.
No, I think it is one that you'll either love or you hate, and it kind of grew on, because I did when I first saw it, when it first got revealed years back, I'd probably be in the hate camp, but I can see how it works, which makes sense. It's just, yeah, I think it is getting over that hump, because it does look like it'll have a very interesting story and characters and stuff like that. So yeah, it might be one you just have to give a go, and if you can't get used to it, you can't get used to it, really. But yeah, it looks intriguing. I think that's the fairest way to put it. Moving on then to Naraka Blade Point. This is the melee battle royale game, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Yeah. It's better than having another shooting battle royale. You've also noted down the campaign's coming as well. That might be more of it, more interest, but the battle royale market's so oversaturated and only three can survive at a time, let's be honest. So I think that part of it might not be worth it. I'll probably give it a go, but I'm not sure it'll catch on. But campaign, anything to add?
Yeah, no, I mean, the game's obviously got a degree of popularity on PC, or else, again, they wouldn't be bringing it to console. But as you said, it can somehow set itself out because it's melee-based, but at the same time, it is a battle royale. I dabble with battle royales when they first kind of came on the scene, and I had some enjoyment with some of them, but, you know, I got in, I got out. I don't think I'm going to go back in at any point. And as far as the campaign goes, I suppose that adds something to it to kind of set it out there. But at the same time, there's a lot of, let's say, Oriental-based kind of action games in this day and age. I'm sure there's a lot of them that are a hell of a sight better than this when it comes to a single-player experience. That you could go play instead. So, not one that really interested me. It's out quite soon. I think it's out next week. So we'll get to see kind of how it does. But at the same time, I just don't see myself personally dabbling with this one.
Yeah, I might give it a bash, but Apex, Overwatch, yeah. I don't know where it'll fit in. I've also got a new game, Spellforce, which has kind of been broken, finally got to play, so yeah, might be a tough one to fit in. Moving on then. Pentiment. We kind of heard about this literally as we did our preview. Another story-driven murder mystery set in the Dark Ages with what art style would you call it? The Parchment Legend art style? I don't know how you'd word it. It's like a storybook art style is probably how you'd word it.
Yeah, I certainly got that vibe. I mean, this game to me screams like UbiArt. You know, you remember like the UbiArt or Ubisoft art? But, you know, there's kind of little passion mini projects that ended up being kind of like critical darlings, you know, like Child of Light and what was the other one called? Oh my god, the World War One.
Oh. I know what it's called. I downloaded it but never played it.
I played it. It was fantastic. One second there.
We need to know because it'll annoy us.
Exactly. I need to know really well. Valiant Hearts.
I had V in my head.
Yeah. But they were both little fantastic titles because, you know, they were passion products. They were smaller games that the devs wanted to make. And obviously Ubisoft backed them and they're able to make them. And this gave me that vibe. You know, obviously Obsidian, we talked about in the preview, how they've got so many projects on the go. But this is kind of a smaller project, gives you that passion project vibes. And I'm really intrigued by that. For that alone, that kind of reminder of the Valiant Hearts and Child of Light and how much I love those games has me really intrigued about this one because, you know, I talk about what a great developer Obsidian are and how fond I am of their games. I mean, all those factors considered, like, I'm really, really intrigued by this one and I think I'll definitely give it a go. I mean, it's in Game Pass. Why wouldn't you? Like, it's November 22nd, so we're talking about 5 months away. It's not the busiest winter period in terms of game releases, so I can definitely see myself trying this one out.
I don't expect it'll be the biggest game as well, so it might be one you can even knock out in like a weekend if you're not, well, it's winter, you'll either be, if you're not Christmas shopping, you'll probably be out of the cold, so yeah, it's probably one you can knock out in a couple of weekends or something like that. Grounded. Get the full release in September. We've played this together as well. I'll probably jump back on this, to be honest. I've enjoyed Grounded the few times I've played it, and that doesn't mean I've just played it once or twice, and you go through spells with games like that. But if you get the quest line filled out, maybe... Well, I think that's basically you get the quest line filled out, and then you get to get the carrot to explore more of the world. Because when we played, I don't think we really had that. We built a bit of a ship base, didn't we? And then it was basically that. There was no reason to go into the pond. There was no reason to go get battered by big spiders and stuff like that, was there?
Yeah, no, I think when we played, there was still a bit of jank in the game. There was still a lot of kind of dead ends where you'd kind of find things and thinking you could tell it was supposed to lead to something, but because the game was in early access, it didn't lead anywhere, which could be a little off-putting. But I quite liked the concept of the game, and I enjoy that the game visually, like, it looks really cool. I recall that session we had, and I think we ended up kind of trapped in a cave by a giant spider, and we slowly kind of shot the spider with arrows and threw rocks at it until it died, and we kind of took that as our victory. We had a laugh with it. I've said before, I don't really play much survival games because they just kind of they psych me out, you know. I feel like I don't know if I have to go, if I'm going to go left, I don't know if I'm going to go right. And then when I have, there's a lot of indecision. When I eventually pick a path, then I might find something cool, and then I'll suddenly die, and then I've lost it, and it just really frustrates me. It's not a genre that's for me. I've kind of just accepted that, because of my kind of, my fondness for Obsidian, and also obviously because, I'd friends who wanted to play it, like I gave it a shot, and I don't regret that. And I did enjoy that session we had, but it just didn't really leave me with a desire to go back. And even now that the game's complete, and obviously there's going to be less, or it will be complete, there's going to be less jank, and obviously there'll be less dead ends. I still just don't anticipate myself, going back to it when it comes out in September, but still, I can see a lot of people will, and I can see why, because it is, while it's not a game for me, I can see that it's a good game.
Yeah, it's, well, I've played Ark, I've played other survival games, so I do like the genre. I think it's one way. There's like a cut-off point with the genre where you just go, "What the fuck have I been doing in my life?" But I think this is almost, it's terrifying because of the spiders and stuff like that, but it's also innocent because it's Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. So it's a bit mixed where it's fucking terrifying, but it's like cartoony at the same time. So yeah, it's a good mix, but yeah, I'll probably go back on it. Ereban, I'm probably pronouncing that wrong. Shadow Legacy, another completely new game, Game Pass Day 1, next year. This looked good. This is one, if you don't remember, people's where the lass is in the shadows and she becomes like a wraith fucking monster going through there, and then as soon as she's in the light, she's a person. But yeah, this looked intriguing, Cal.
Yeah, no, this is another reveal that looked really promising. Kind of like a stealth game. Like, who doesn't like a game, a ninja game, a ninja game that stands out and is near standard ninja game. Like, it's really intriguing. And again, it's a console launch exclusive. It's another get for Xbox, and it's in Game Pass Day 1. It's coming next year. This is another one that I'll be looking out for more info and more footage of as time goes on, because it was certainly one of the standout titles for me.
Yeah, certainly. I think I'll definitely check this one out. I'll keep tabs on it. It just looked really intriguing. I mean, the robots and stuff like that. It'll be interesting to see how big the world is and that. But the mechanic in itself looked quite fun. Diablo 4 then, Carl. This one, I don't think it got leaked beforehand, but the beta sign-up got announced before the show, and everyone was like, well, you've kind of just ruined that. So it wasn't really a surprise, but Diablo 4, it's not a franchise I've played. I don't think I've even ever dabbled in it, but I don't know why, because it does look like a game I'd really enjoy. But this one, by all accounts I've heard, improves on the character development. It looks a bit darker and stuff like that, but I'll definitely be playing this next... Well, I'll ask you this first. Is this the first game where you think this will definitely be beyond the 12 months cycle that they mentioned?
Oof. Yeah, no. I'll believe it's coming out when I see it. Kind of situation here. I'm glad they didn't try and put anything beyond 2023 on it, because my gut feeling on this one is, like, I don't think it'll be crazy today, but my gut feeling is this will probably be kind of like a holiday, maybe fall, let's say, 2023 game, rather than by summer.
Yeah, get the Xbox acquisition out the way, and then you can probably put it in Game Pass and stuff as well, which probably works better for Microsoft, if anything. So yeah, that one wouldn't surprise me if it's put beyond the 12 months, but it did look good. I mean, I assume you've played more Diablo than I have.
Yeah, no, I'm a big fan of the first Diablo game. Played it back on the PS1, one of my favorite co-op games of all time. Diablo 2, I did play somewhat on PC, but I never got too far. And obviously the recent remaster that came out, I picked that up, and I had all intentions of playing it with friends, but we haven't quite gotten into it as yet. Diablo 3, I pushed a solid 20 hours in, but I never finished. But I did really enjoy it. So I'm excited about this one, and I do certainly see myself playing it when it comes out next year. Like, it looks, you know, more Diablo, and what else do you want than a Diablo sequel?
Yeah,
is more Diablo. It's not the kind of game where you need to reinvent the wheel with the series, but it looks like they are trying to evolve it. It's a bit more open world. It seems like it's taken, at least from what I saw in the showcase, it feels like it's taking some kind of some leads from the Divinity series. Which is good to see, because obviously that's an excellent series in its own right.
Oh, don't tell me about it. Beautiful.
So yeah, no, I'm really excited for this one. As I said, if not for Starfield, this probably would have been my personal highlight in terms of that big game showing.
Yeah, and I like that they've taken the Wildy from RuneScape as well and put that in, which it looks fun. It looks like it'll be the PvP element will look like an absolute fuck on as well. What did they call it? They call you a loot target or something like that? Which, yeah,
I think it's like a nightmare. Champion, but it may you just shoot you. People kill you. They get good loot. So
yeah, be an absolute bastard, but it'll probably be fun. Sea of Thieves stuff again. I really want to play Sea of Thieves, but my friends are knobheads and won't play Sea of Thieves. That's basically how I view Sea of Thieves.
Yeah, I mean, they announced it with a song. It was a lot of fun.
What else do you want?
Yeah, I mean, Season 7, I mean, that's a testament to how popular this game is, that they're into their seventh season of content and they're still releasing new stuff, because clearly a lot of people, and I know, I don't even need to say clearly based on this, I know from reputation, a lot of people play this game, and it's, you know, similar to yourself. I've always thought it looks like a lot of fun, but it's just my friends I play with, just nobody plays it, so therefore I never got to. You know, maybe you and I should
possibly
just jump in and
should.
And if we never play it again after that point, but at least we'll have experienced what it's all about.
Absolutely, do the Jack Sparrow thing. What are we up to next? Ravenlock. I don't remember this one.
This was like a very kind of... Kind of artsy, cartoony, kind of fantasy title.
Yes. What's the other game they make? Is it Echo something? Echo Generation, I think.
That, yeah, I believe, yeah. Yes. It is Echo. Yeah.
And my Amazon Echo's going off. I remember seeing pictures of the Echo generation. Yeah, this one, I don't know. I think I'd maybe give this one a go. I'd enjoy it, but again, it's getting over that first hump, I think.
Yeah, I liked the art style. You know, I thought it stood out in that sense, but the gameplay didn't really excite me. It didn't do a lot for me. So this is one maybe where I'd kind of have to wait and see what the reviews are like and that. And if they're good, obviously I could be intrigued. If they're so-so, then I'd leave it be. You know, it's, as I said, the art style definitely was eye-catching, but the gameplay less so for me.
Yeah, I looked a tad basic where I'm just catching up with it there. Next up we have Cocoon. Puzzle game.
Yeah, I have mixed feelings on this one. Obviously it involves one of the key people behind Limbo and Inside, and I adore those games, and I can't wait obviously for Playdead's next game. But this is obviously, it's a departure from those. It's not kind of a stylistic platformer. It's,
yeah,
you know, it's a
top down
kind of, yeah, a top down isometric kind of puzzle game. And I'm not a big fan of puzzle games. The odd puzzle game, you know, the real kind of top notch ones that people rave about, I'll give a try, and some of them I stick through. Other ones I give up on, but you know, it takes a lot to pull me into a puzzle game, and I just don't know. I feel like because of its association with Limbo and Inside, perhaps if it gets strong reviews, I could be tempted. But for now, it's certainly a best a wait and see, because it just didn't look like my kind of game on the face of it.
Yeah, I'll probably be with you there. Next up we had, what was it, I've not got the right tab open, Wulong Fallen Dynasty. This was in the Japanese segment, wasn't it, where they obviously realised they need Japanese games, and this one really looked good.
Yeah, I mean, like, Team Ninja have, you know, obviously they have kind of a history with Xbox, obviously, with the
Garden.
The Ninja Gaiden games back in the day. I mean, I've talked about it before on this podcast. I love Ninja Gaiden, but my God, did those games kick my ass. Like, they were like Devil May Cry turned up to 20. Like, it was insane how hard those games were. But they were nonetheless enjoyable. And, they've had, you know, not that they ever went away, but I feel like they've been kind of pushed that step above in recent years with the Neo games, the Neo one, the first one, and the sequel. Those games were really popular. Again, I dabbled with them, but they kicked my ass. But I still could appreciate them as really good games. And this looks like it's going to be more the same. You know, they do what they do best, and that's these action games. So it's a really big get for Xbox to have it in. It's not like a timed exclusive or anything, by all accounts, but it's Game Pass day one, and as you said, they get criticized for not getting enough Japanese games in, or oftentimes getting Japanese games too late. Like, they get them, you know, that game's been on PlayStation for the past 18 months and now it's in Game Pass, you know, la-di-da. But this is a day one Game Pass game, and it's a big gap for them.
Yeah, we didn't see loads of gameplay, but from what we've seen of cinematics and stuff like that, it looks like it could be really, really fun. So it's one to keep an eye on, as you say, Game Pass day one, early 2023. Were you going to say something there, Carl?
No, sorry.
But yeah, I'll keep an eye out for this one. It'll be interesting to see more of what type of game it actually is. But if it's Dynasty Warrior type thing, yeah. If it's more Neo type game, yeah, spot on. But yeah, it looks like a quality game. And as you say, not getting it 12 months after PlayStation is a big get. So yeah, keep an eye out for that one. Now, Carl. Persona time. This doesn't mean much to me personally, because I have no affiliation with this series whatsoever. But this seems to be almost the biggest announcement from this showcase in the grand scheme of how it's pissed off PlayStation fanboys. Because that's a lot of what I've seen on Twitter, is people saying they've been betrayed by Atlus and stuff like that. Altus, I should say. Can't even pronounce the creators right. But is this a huge announcement, or am I overplaying it there?
Firstly, it is actually Atlus. I think just when I typed it up, that it auto-corrected it for some reason.
Not more than me, blame Carl.
This is a big announcement. I mean, it's not... It's surprising, and it isn't surprising. It's not surprising in the way that I think it's been rumored for a while that Persona 5 or Persona 5 Royal would come to Xbox. I think Mr. Matty Plays of Defining Duke has been pushing it a long time. So we kind of expected that. Persona 4 Golden, I talked on this podcast before, but when it got announced for Steam, I think was it last, I think it might have been two, kind of E3 seasons ago. I would expect it would come to console eventually. Obviously, it was originally on console it was on handheld on the Vita. So I expected it to come to PS4 at the time, now PS5, eventually. But I thought maybe it would come to PS5 first and then maybe come to Xbox down the road. So I'm surprised by the looks things. Like, we don't know when Persona 4 Golden is coming to the current consoles, but in all likelihood, it seems inevitably that it'll be day and date on both consoles now. Persona 3 Portable, people kind of predicted that, you know, after Persona 4 Golden came to Steam, that Persona 3, either Persona 3 FES or Persona 3 Portable, which was originally on PSP, would come to Steam as well, and then potentially eventually to consoles. But the idea that it's been announced here, and again, you'd assume whenever it comes, it's going to come to PC, PS5, and Xbox Series consoles all at the same time. But this is a package deal for the Xbox of such a blowout. So look, we got like the big three Persona games, and announced them all at the one time. Like, that is big. Like, I mean, I don't know what they could have announced in terms of, you know, Japanese centric games. Well, except for potentially the next thing we're going to come on to. But, you know, in terms of what I see people asking for, in terms of, you know, Xbox in general and to a lesser extent Game Pass, this is what people wanted. People wanted Persona, and now they're going to have Persona. And that's a big win for Xbox. And it's hilarious to think that PlayStation fanboys are giving out about it. I mean, I don't really care. You know, I like my Persona games. I buy them on PlayStation. I don't really care if they're available on PC or Xbox or whatever the case might be. It's a bit ridiculous it's a weird thing to kind of it's a weird hill to die on, so to speak. It's strange. But let's leave them to it.
Both fanboys are as bad as each other, let's be fair. I'm in the background watching what Persona is, because I know it's turn-based and stuff like that, and that's basically where my knowledge dies of the franchise. What if I'm going into this, what am I expecting from a Persona game?
It's a life sim / I suppose to a later, lesser degree dating sim, although the mechanics would be very limited, / turn-based RPG. Right. I mean, that's what it is in terms of how the game plays out. Like, you're a high school student, and you're effectively living their life. You're deciding who you want to hang out with. Do you want to spend time with your family? Do you want to spend time with your friends? Do you have a girl that you like? Or in the case of Persona 3 Portable, you can play as a girl. So it could be a guy that you like, you know, whatever
tickles your fancy.
2022, whatever everyone's into.
Tickles your pickle, or not your pickle.
So, yeah. So, like, you're living their life, but at the same time, then at times you're delving into dungeons, you're fighting enemies, you're getting through the story. It's very stylistic. It's very Japanese. I love Persona. Like, I adored Persona 4 Golden. Like, it's one of my favorite RPGs. I still haven't gotten around to Persona 5 Royal, which is bizarre, considering how much I love Persona 4 Golden. But yeah, I mean, if you like these kind of games, you'll love Persona. If you don't like these kind of games, you'll be like, what the hell am I playing? That's my elevator pitch.
I'll give it a go. October 21st. Is that all three, or was that just 5 Royale?
That's just 5 Royale. I think the others are coming at a later stage.
Right, okay. Okie dokie. Right. Moving on then to, well, the second biggest announcement, we discussed Starfield, but Kojima. We got that rumour before, I can't remember which pod we did, because we did about 12 last week, but the Kojima overdose game, and people were thinking maybe that'll be at Summer Games Fest or it'll get shown at a later date. We heard the rumours of the Xbox partnership for a while now. We probably thought Overdose was probably a bit too early for that, if I remember correctly. But for this to be new, for this to get announced, it is huge in many aspects, because Kojima brings basically his own fan base with him, because his games are so unique and stuff like that. And as we mentioned, it fills the void of the lack of Japanese titles on Xbox in the most popular producer way.
Yeah, I mean, as I alluded to, if you're going to get Xbox games, who more do you want? Or sorry, to get Japanese games on your platform, you know, who bigger to get than Kojima? I mean, it's a big announcement. We kind of, you know, I don't think we were blindsided by it, because there was so much smoke for there not to be fire.
And they announced a special guest before the show, and then it was Phil Spencer. Like, that's definitely a fake one there.
Yeah. I mean, you think back to when the rumors of, a Kojima making a horror game for Xbox. Then suddenly it leaks that Kojima is working on a horror game, and then suddenly there's, you know, an Xbox showcase to follow. Like, we knew this was happening. And I think we can, although we didn't see the game, you know, we know it's Overdose. We know Overdose is the game that Kojima is going to announce for Xbox. And I mean, it's a really cool get for Xbox, and, you know, fair play to Kojima, because, like, he's, you know, he's out there independent, and he's milking it, because, like, he's, on the one hand, he has PlayStation with Death Stranding, on the other hand, he's going to have Xbox with Overdose. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if Nintendo go and pay him to make a game, you know, maybe some sort of, like, at some point, because I suppose...
He could do mad shit with a Switch controller.
Yeah, technically speaking, Kojima, you know, his first ever game, the original Metal Gear, was a Nintendo game. And he has had some history along the way with Nintendo. He made the Boktai games for Game Boy, which were, if you've never seen them, they're like games that have like a solar panel on them. And you take in sunlight, and you use the sunlight that you get into the cartridge to, like, power up your character in the game. Mm. Like, it's mental. Like,
it's basically Wii Fit many years before, making you go outside to play again.
Exactly.
Play,
yeah.
Put it on your windowsill. That sounds interesting, to be fair.
Yeah, it was a cool concept. I played a lot of friends. But yeah, so I, like. Maybe, as I said, like, perhaps Kojima can go to Nintendo next and get a project with them. Like, he's milking the platforms, he's getting exclusives out there, but he's not picking sides. Like, there was rumors at some point of PlayStation buying Kojima Productions, and I didn't see it happening myself.
Yeah, so. I don't think he wants to be limited after the Konami crack, did he? I mean,
yeah. we can clearly see why. I mean, like, this is the way to do business if you're someone like Kojima.
Mm.
But yeah, no, like, obviously we can't say too much more because we haven't seen the game, and even though, as we know, we're pretty sure it's Overdose, we haven't seen Overdose, we just read what other people have leaked. But I'm sure it won't be too long until we see this. I wouldn't be surprised if Kojima's back out talking about it, like revealing Overdose officially at some point before 2022 is out. And obviously that'll be a big moment for Xbox.
He is, mate. It's with Jeff Keighley, so maybe the game I want for that one. Yeah, the only other interesting thing of the Kojima thing, they certainly try to focus on the cloud gaming tech, didn't they? We know he's a bit of a... He likes being unique, so it'll be interesting to see how he incorporates cloud gaming into it. If it's a game for on the go and for home consoles, maybe you can play about with that a bit. But it'll be interesting to see how unique he can make it with stuff like that. But not too much from that. And now we're back at Starfield, Carl. I mean, anything we can go back over that we didn't at the start?
No, I think we covered it well. I mean, I just can't wait to play it. I'm glad they didn't give a release date, because there's still always the risk, especially with a product so ambitious, that it could slip. And obviously, you don't want to slip twice. So I'm glad they're erring on the side of caution. But at the same time, I just can't wait to play this game. Like, you know, give it to me now. You know, Fallout 4, as I've talked about in the preview, disappointed me a little bit, but I still put over 100 hours into it. So with what this game is, because it looks, feels like something new, I could easily see myself sinking a couple hundred hours into this game over a long period. Like, I'm really excited about this one.
Yeah, same. I haven't really... I didn't finish Fallout 4. I probably put a lot of hours into it, but I didn't really go full Skyrim or Oblivion into it. So it's probably my first true Bethesda Game Studios one since Skyrim. So, yeah, probably, 12 years in the making, or 11 and a half years in the making since then. So, yeah, a long wait for me. So I really can't wait for this. It's just... They put that 12-month tag on it. It would surprise me. If any of these games have struggles, it'd be like, put them out June 12th, you prick. So, yeah. Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Hopefully it's not stupidly late into 2023. But, yeah, I really can't wait for this one as well. It's probably moved up in terms of my most hyped games now, having seen it.
Yeah, no, I'm right there with you. I'm holding out hope for kind of like a March or April launch.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's it, Carl. Anything you want to bring up before we go?
No, just to reiterate, it was a strong showing, and Xbox have certainly learned over the years how to do an effective showcase. And I think they've kind of set themselves up nicely for the next 12 months, and it still doesn't rule out, obviously this is just till the end of say June 2023, so it still doesn't rule out that we can get the likes of Hellblade 2 and Avowed and such in the second half of next year.
Well, that's probably what I'll ask you. Is there anything you surprised wasn't there? Because, I mean, GoldenEye remake and stuff like that was rumoured and it wasn't there.
That was the biggest surprise, simply because it just seemed so nailed on, as we talked about in the preview. So I was surprised by that. I suppose the Gears of War, the rumoured Gears of War collection, its absence would now start to make me think that maybe it's just one of those strong rumours that simply isn't true, because I think if you were going to announce that now, when are you going to announce it? You know, that we talked about how that could be an effective kind of filler title almost while they're waiting to get bigger games out. But obviously, by the time that would come out, theoretically, the bigger games would be out. You know, it just doesn't seem... You're better off just having the coalition work on what's next for Gears of War, or whatever other product they could have in the pipeline. So I'm starting to doubt that's existence now due to it not being at this. But all in all, nothing else really surprised me. As we said, there was the focus on the next 12 months. We had our suspicions the likes of Hellblade 2 and Avowed wouldn't be coming till past that window. And especially we kind of knew Fable won't be. So, the Golden Eye and the Gears of War collection aside, nothing really stood out for me in terms of its absence. I mean, anything on your side?
No, I was hoping for Avowed and stuff like that, but I think that'll be winter next year at the very earliest. So, Project Dragon, never really expected that. Maybe just missing a couple more big third-party stuff for this year. I may have expected something like Saints Row to be Game Passy, but I suppose maybe that's too big a franchise for something like that. But that's probably what I was meant. Maybe something a bit big in third-party this year to help fill the void, but I suppose that them deals can be worked out and announced at any time, I suppose.
I agree with you. I would have thought maybe there'd be a couple of third-party games. I suppose the biggest one we probably got was Wolong Fallen Dynasty.
Yeah.
Well, aside from the Persona game, but I mean in terms of a new game. As you say, they're kind of things that they'll just announce periodically because they like to keep the Game Pass hype train going. So they like to save some announcements for closer to the time.
Just before we go, when is Saints Row? I'm pretty sure it's soon, isn't it? Saints Row. New game.
I assume so, seeing as you can download a demo that lets you create your player.
So in August, so it's not too far away. End of August, so not too far away. But I don't know why I jumped on the Saints Row train. But yeah, maybe just lack of third-party stuff for Game Pass. But we got enough, I think, from that show. But that's it. That is the end of the E3 week. I think there's a Nintendo Direct rumoured. Maybe Sony have a show for God of War or something like that, hopefully. And hopefully we'll be back then. But I'm sure me and Carl will think of other topics to do in the summer and we'll be back. Thank you, everyone. Goodbye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.